She pulled up to the black church. She pulled up to the black church. She pulled up to the black church.
And the president of Citizens Trust Bank is with us on today. Madam President, won't you please stand? We're so honored to have $1 million in scholarships. You to shout about it. Don't do it yet. One out of five of you in this room, one out of five of you in this room was raised by your grandparent. One out of five of you in this room was raised by a grandparent.
Now, let me show you the symbolism of some things right here. All right. I haven't seen this yet. I only seen like a 2-minute clip that was on her YouTube channel specifically. But let me show you the symbolism in this, right? Number one, you have Jamal Bryant. Now, I'm not necessarily against Greek organizations, but I wonder, because he regularly promotes his Greek organization. And I'm curious because I'm in a mode where I'm kind of doing some research and I'm trying to better understand. What I'm trying to figure out is, because you see the pink, right? You see the pink, it'd be green and pink, and they'll say a pink out and all of this stuff, and they'll try to align it with women. But in reality, it's aligned with the AKA organization. The AKA organization. And so I'm doing a little bit of research, and I'm trying to understand, because I'm about to fast forward to Kamala Harris standing on the pulpit. I'm doing a little bit of research, and I'm trying to understand, does that align with God? Does it align with the word of God? Does it align with the word of God? So she pulled up to the black church on her birthday. On her birthday, she said, it's my birthday. Pulled up to the black church. They gave her the pulpit and she preached the message.
I'm so honored to be with you. Thank you. Thank you all. Everyone, good Sunday morning. Pastor. Thank you. Okay, it's Sunday morning. And I first of all, Pastor Brian, I want to thank you. You and I were reminiscing.
So fake.
Beautiful wishes. Pastor Brian, I thank you for your leadership. You and I have discussed, we first met almost 20 years ago when there was a convening of rising stars in the country. And we had conversations back then about how we thought of our role and responsibility to our country and our responsibility and duty as leaders. And it is so good to be with you this morning to celebrate what you have accomplished with this extraordinary congregation. And so I'm honored to be here with everyone. And thank you. Thank you all. And please have a seat. Please have a seat. So before I begin, I will address the tragic incident that happened yesterday at Sapelo Island when a dock collapsed and many were injured. In fact, our administration has been in touch on behalf of all of us here. This, we are reminded of the ties that bind us to each other and the importance of community.
Have y'all noticed that she never leaves without her podium things, her monitors? It has to be a planned conversation. It cannot be off script. Everything that she says is written for her, is not to you. Now, I have thoughts about her standing on this pulpit right now, but I want to hear a little bit of her message before we deep dive into that.
The importance of community. And that is what I know New Birth Church provides to so many people across Atlanta and beyond. And so, Pastor Brian, I thank you for your words and for your vision. And in this election season, I also thank you for the time you have spent traveling our country to encourage people to register and to vote. Because you know, and we all know, your parents who gave so much and led such an honorable life, and including, of course, among the leaders upon whose broad shoulders we stand, Congressman John Lewis. They all knew, and by their example, they taught us that faith and good works go hand in hand. And that is especially true when it comes to protecting our sacred right to vote and getting souls to the polls. And I thank everyone.
Getting souls to the polls. Is that the new marketing pitch? Getting souls to the polls. Wow, that's what we're doing now. Souls to the polls. This is such a mockery of the church, man.
Everyone, for all you are doing in that regard. And I am truly honored to be in the presence of so many extraordinary leaders, including my pastor, Reverend Dr. Amos C. Brown of Third Baptist Church of San Francisco, who you heard from earlier this morning. There he is. And whose wisdom, Dr. Brown, has guided me and just been a source of comfort and solace for me for so many years. And I'm especially glad to be here on Pink Sunday. She was one of the very few women, and fewer even women of color, who was engaged in studying breast cancer and treatment on the parable from the Gospel of Luke. So in the gospel, we are told of a man who traveled from the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And while traveling, he was attacked by robbers. We remember he was beaten. He was bloodied. They left him for dead. He was someone that should just be passed on by, maybe with a glance of pity, but not more. So one person passed by, sees the man lying in his path, and walks around him, not wanting to be bothered or obstructed on the path that he decided to walk. A second man does the same. But then a Samaritan walks by. He sees the man and he stops. The Samaritan bandages the stranger's wounds. He brings him to an inn, gives him shelter and a hot meal, and he saves the man's life. This parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan, teaches us to love thy neighbor as thyself. These words are simple. We know them well. It is an essential tenet and a pillar of our faith and that of so many others. However, one must ask, are all people of faith living those words? Are all people of faith expressing those words in their actions? Do we have leaders in place who understand that in the face of a stranger, one should see a neighbor? And I'll tell you, I grew up in a church that took those words to heart. As a little girl on Sundays, my sister Maya and I would go to 23rd Avenue Church of God in Oakland, California, where we sang in the children's choir. We attended Sunday school, and where after church, we would go to the basement and eat a food prepared by loving hands. And where I first learned the teachings of the Bible, and my earliest memories of those teachings are about a loving God. A loving God. A God who asks us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, and to defend the rights of the poor and the needy. And for me, like for so many of us, church is then a place of growth and belonging and community, a place where we are reminded of the incredible power of faith and fellowship And in moments of difficulty and uncertainty, when the way is not clear, it is our faith that then guides us forward. Faith in what we often cannot see, but we know to be true.
And y'all know that this speech was written for her, right? Again, she's reading it on the podium, but we're going to get there.
Faith in what we cannot see, but know to be true. And I say that because in this moment, across our nation, what we do see are some who tried to deepen division among us, spread hate, sow fear, and cause chaos.
Let me tell you something about the Word of God. As a person has read it front to back 7 times, and I still study it today. If you know anything about the Word of God and you read it from Genesis all the way to Revelations, Exodus, Genesis in the beginning, there was all of that. Noah, Exodus, Leviticus, and then you go into Numbers, and then you deep dive into Deuteronomy, and then you go to Joshua, and then you study Judges and Ruth, and then you go to the 1 Samuel, and then the 2 Samuel, Kings, and then you can go over to the New Testament, right? And you start to look at the different accounts of how they then manifested, what happened in the previous, in the Old Testament, and they start talking about Matthew and then Luke, and he gives his account of what happened during Jesus's short life. And then John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John, and then Acts of the Apostles, and then you understand the life of the apostles, right? And then you read Romans, and you deep dive into Galatians, and you look at all of these things, and you study the principles of God, and you look at all of the different commandments, because it wasn't just 10 commandments, right? And then you also study, and you look at what happened in Genesis and Exodus, and you study what happened with Noah, you'll start to see, right, all of the letters that Paul wrote over to the Galatians. You'll start to see that even in this speech that was written for her, it's not a reflection of her. And this is absolutely a mockery, 100% a mockery of the church, which is why you see so many people falling away from it, especially the black church, because the pulpit is supposed to be sacred. And I don't care what office you hold inside of the United States of America, you don't get up there and you don't preach to the congregation and you try to convince them to vote for you. This ain't that. This ain't that. Everything falls below the Word of God. And you start to pay attention to the fact that she's walking around with a pride shirt on. Hold on. Let me see. When I see this, how can you stand in the pulpit and make a mockery of God? Now, you could believe what you want to believe, but that's weird to me. That's weird to me. When I see this, how can you stand there and make a mockery of God at the same time? Because see, if you understood what Noah stood for and his sons and the covenant that God made between him and man that he would never flood the earth before, what is that? It's a rainbow, and it was taken and it was perverted to mean something completely different than what God intended for it to mean between him and man. When I see this, it's a mockery. It's a mockery of what we stand for as a nation. It's disrespectful. Now, again, I believe that people should be able to believe whatever they want to believe when they want to believe it. Whatever they want to believe when they want to believe it. But the thing that I don't believe is that you should be able to stand up in the pulpit of the church, and I hold just as accountable the pastors that allow for her to get up there and spew this nonsense while her life is not a reflection of the thing that we advocate for how we're supposed to be living said lives. We're supposed to be above reproach when it comes to looking at our lives as a reflection of how the people are supposed to be living. You will know them by their fruit. And so is it more about her relationship with meeting with Pastor Jamal Bryant more than 20 years ago about who's going to be a rising star? Or is it about the word of God, and does it align with your actions? And are you a reflection of it, and should people be following you? Because I just looked at an interview on Fox News where Brett Bauer was asking her, is it okay for taxpayers to have to fund the transitions of prisoners? And she stood up against it. She stood up for it, I mean. She said, absolutely, and I'm going to follow the law. And she defends it. And she goes and she participates and she seeks the validation of people that's completely against God. But then you're going to sit up there and let her inside of the pulpit? You're going to let her in the pulpit. Is it about networking or is it about, listen, some things we just can't cross. Some things, look, we might have an agreement. It's people that disagree 100% of how I live or disagree 100% with what I stand for. And their life is a completely different thing. And I can respect you as a human, but you're not going to disrespect what I believe in. And that's the difference. So while she playing the fool with y'all and she disrespecting y'all, I can't stand for it. I can't stand for it. It's disrespectful.
There are those who suggest that the measure of the strength of a leader is based on who you beat down instead of what we know.
Eric D., you're wrong. He never stood for it. He never stood for it. You're just making it up. He didn't stand for that.
Which is the true measure of the strength of a leader is based on who you lift up.
Okay, we heard that one before. I can't do it no more. I can't do it anymore. I don't believe that God is in that. You can't convince me that God is in that. Because the one thing that my pastor taught me is that regardless of what you think he's telling you to do, it has to line up with the word of God. Regardless of what you think that he's telling you to do, it has to line up with the word of God. That's what he says. That's what he means. And that's what I stand. I can call him right now. I can call my pastor right now. And he will tell you that no matter what you think you believe, and this is one of the reasons why you get a witness, it has to line up with the word of God, or that's not God. You might have the devil talking to you, whispering in your ear.